The Detroit Pistons have a serious problem. A serious problem among a lot of their players on the roster. And it's one of their biggest issues, if not the biggest issue, of why they lose games and why they lose games the way they've been losing. We're going to talk about that in today's episode of the Locked On Pistons podcast.
You are Locked On Pistons, your daily Detroit Pistons podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
What's the deal? Welcome back to another episode of the Locked On Pistons podcast. Per usual, I'm your host, Kuka Hill. You can find me over on Twitter at Kuka Hill. I want to thank you guys for making Locked On Pistons your first listen of every single day. We are free and available on all your podcast platforms. If you haven't already, head to the YouTube channel at Locked On Pistons, hit that subscribe button, or leave us a five-star review on whatever podcast platform you are listening to this on. And today's episode is brought to you by BetOnline. BetOnline has you covered this season more props, odds, and lines than ever before. BetOnline, where the game starts. So, look, we got some Marvin Bagley news, and I was judging on whether I should make this the first topic of the podcast or Marvin Bagley in his news, the first segment. I decided to go with this because I feel like this is, not that it's more important, but there's more meat to talk about. There's more meat on the bone, and it's something that I've talked about a lot this year, and even going back to last year, I talked a lot about it. So, we're going to open up with their fatal flaw, the Pistons' fatal flaw, and then we'll move into some of the news about Marvin Bagley. But even before all that, I know this is a Pistons podcast. I know this is an NBA podcast, but I do just want to go out and say my prayers are out for DeMar Hamlin, that gruesome scene that we had. For those who are also football fans, it was terrifying to see. I watched that. I was watching it live, and it shook me up. As someone who grew up playing football and basketball, it was just messed up. So praying for him, I want to just take a second out of my time on the podcast and say my prayers are with him and his family. It's just really messed up situation. But anyways, moving on now to the Pistons' fatal flaw. Now, you guys will remember a few podcasts ago, I believe it was last week, we dove really into this after one of the Pistons' losses. I talked about how this team does not play for each other. They play for themselves. They're looking to score for themselves. They don't play as a team. And if you guys remember, going back to last year, that was one of my bigger complaints about last year's team. I said that they were giving players too much freedom to try to experiment their own game. It's okay to give players freedom to a certain extent. But when you start letting every single player think they have the green light to go ISO, they have the green light to try this and try that, you can't have everybody on the court trying to do their own thing. It's just not going to work. That's what the offseason is for. And you can give some players some more leniency. But every player on the court playing for themselves and being given the freedom to do basically anything, the ISO, whatever, it's just not going to translate to good basketball on the court. And that was a problem last year. And you're seeing a way bigger issue with it this year. It's much worse this year. And I'm going to shout out my friend, Jack Kelly. He does a lot of work over at Detroit Bad Boys. He's also very active on Twitter with a ton of content on there. He tweeted this out and really solidified that I wanted to talk about this today. So I wanted to shout him out. But let me just read you some of the Piston numbers. So, and look, these numbers are crazy to look at. But look at this. So for seconds per touch. So every time a player touches the basketball, how long they hold on to the ball. The Pistons rank fourth in the league amongst all the teams and players when they touch the ball, how long they hold on to it. They rank second in the NBA in dribbles per touch. So every time a player touches the ball, how many times they dribble after touching the ball. The Pistons rank second in the NBA only behind the Dallas Mavericks, who are being led by Luka, who obviously dominates the ball. He is the only one, the only team in the NBA that dribbles more per touch than the Detroit Pistons. The Detroit Pistons are not a good isolation team. They don't have a bunch of stars that should be dribbling the clock out or be dribbling out their own shot and constantly trying to go ISO. They're one of the worst teams. They are probably the worst team in the NBA, but yet they're number two in dribbles per touch. They don't share the ball. They're not looking for ball movement. They're not looking for kickouts. This team is looking for their own stuff nonstop. They also rank 26th in the entire NBA in total touches per game. So they're not passing the ball a lot. There's rarely any touches. They rank towards the bottom in the NBA in touches per game. That, you know, again, touches is how long someone, or when someone touches a basketball on the team. And they rank 28th in the NBA in total passes per game. So to just sum it all up, they don't pass the ball. They don't have ball movement. They're constantly looking for their own. They're constantly dribbling out the shot clock. They're constantly trying to create for themselves. And they rarely pass the basketball to each other. When you have those combinations, and you're also a team with as little talent as the Pistons have, when you're also a team that is without your franchise player, when you're also a team who has the worst record in the entire NBA, when you combine all that with the team that does that kind of stuff, you're going to get absolutely horrific basketball on a nightly basis, and you're not going to see improvement from barely anybody, from barely anyone. And you know, it makes sense that the players that we've spent the most time talking about on this podcast that have shown the most improvement, the ones that have, you know, given you the biggest reason to believe, to have hope for, those three players that we've talked about the most on here, Isaiah Stewart, Killian Hayes, and Jalen Duren, those are the only guys who pass the ball. They're the only guys who aren't going out there and constantly looking to create for themselves. Duren is a fantastic passer. He's been showing off some incredible confidence with his passing. Against the Trailblazers, he tried to no-look behind the back one over his head. He was trying some stuff, but he looks to pass. Stu's not out there, you know, hogging up the ball. He'll do a dribble, you know, a pump fake and drive every now and then. Like, that's the most dribbling you'll get out of him. But most of the time, he's doing a DHO or spotting up and just trying to get the ball to the guard. And then you got Killian Hayes, who is the only guard and the only player on the team, not just guard, on the wing, anybody, who can create offense for others, who is constantly looking to make the right basketball play. It's not a coincidence that those three guys are the ones that we talk about as a community, that we talk about as the guys who have shown us the most, or the guys who have shown us the most improvement, or the guys who played the right way. It's not a coincidence at all. And look, this is going back really far. You guys have to go back to the summer the Pistons drafted Kay Cunningham. We had a podcast episode where we dove into the numbers of Dwayne Casey's time as a Raptor after he left the Raptors numbers, and then before he came to the Pistons, and after he came to the Pistons numbers. We spent a whole podcast going into that the summer Cade was drafted. And I said during one of those podcasts, I said that the Dwayne Casey having a historic, going back to his Raptor days, he has an offense that is very free-flowing. It's not too much structure to it, and it relies a lot on isolation. And when you have players like DeMar DeRozan and Kyle Lowry, they can make that kind of thing work. But when you have a team like this, and if you don't have a strong structural offense, a creative offense, you are going to have players fall back into bad habits, and you're going to see stuff like that. And I said that to you guys the year they drafted Cade. It was bad last year, but it wasn't as bad because Cade was making it work. Cade was doing his best to make it work. Now they're without Cade. They don't have a guy as talented as Cade trying to do it. Now they have less talented guys who aren't good enough to be doing this, guys who are not good in isolation trying to do this, guys who are not trying to create for other people, who can't create for other people, who are not good passers, who are constantly holding onto the ball, trying to do this. It's rough. It makes for terrible watches, and it's hard to see improvement from a lot of these guys because they're not playing the right way. They don't play for each other. They're just playing for themselves. They're playing for the points on the box score in their column. That's all they're worried about. And look, this isn't me taking shots at the players. This isn't me taking digs at the players. This is me telling the truth. This is the numbers. The numbers back this up. Number four, fourth ranked in the NBA in seconds per touch. Number two in dribbles per touch. That one right there is by far the craziest one. Because when you look at the fact that Luka and the Dallas Mavericks are number one, you guys know how much they dribble. The fact that the Pistons are right behind them, they have a reason to do that. Luka's creating for everybody. What the hell are the Pistons' excuse for that? They don't have that. They need to be moving the ball. They need to be trying to create for each other, play together. They don't have the talent like that to do stuff like this. But yet they do it every game, and they make us watch. That's why the viewership of the Pistons lately has been dying. I mean, that's just the simple truth. The interest, and don't think we haven't noticed, us content creators, us who cover the basketball team every single game, every single day, we notice that the viewership, that the interest in this team is dying off. And does Cade getting hurt have something to do with that? Somewhat, but you guys were still entertained. You guys were still tuning in. but the basketball, the kind of basketball that you guys are witnessing, it's not just the fact that they're losing. It's the fact, it's the way they're going about losing. It's killing off fans that want to watch. You're not seeing fans as many people tune into these games. And you're not seeing as much improvement from this team. In fact, you're seeing a lot of players either stay the same or take step backwards. They have to change the way they play, man. I don't know if it's going to happen this year. It may have to take, you know, some changes, you know, to the roster and maybe a coaching staff. But the way they play is just, is not good. It's not good. And it makes no sense with the kind of roster that they have. It's mind-boggling. It's crazy when you look at the numbers like that. So let me know what you guys' thoughts about that are in the comment section down below. Again, I want to shout out my friend Jack Kelly, who was the one who found these numbers and tweeted them out. He does some fantastic work over at Detroit Bad Boys. So go check him out over there. Appreciate him getting these stats out so I could use them. But when we come back, we got some news with Marvin Bagley. You know, it's very, very sad news. After literally just last podcast, his New Year's resolution from me was to stay healthy. And now, literally not even an hour after that podcast was uploaded, we get this news. We'll talk about what that news is when we come back. But first, I have to tell you guys about one of our sponsors, BetOnline.net. BetOnline.net is your number one source for sports betting info, stats, news, and analysis. Get the latest odds and trends for every professional amateur league out there. From pro football to college bowl season to basketball, they've got it all at BetOnline.net. And if you love sports podcasts, you can even find those at BetOnline as well. They're always the easiest and fastest way to get all that for you. So again, check out BetOnline.net. Head to the website today or use your mobile device to see their trends in action today. And if you head over to BetOnline.net right now, you will see, if you click on the basketball tab, you will see they got the favorites for the betting odds favorites for MVP, Defensive Player of the Year, Coach of the Year, you know, all that kind of stuff over in the basketball tab. You can even click on, again, the NFL tab. You got NBA futures. You got NBA specials. You get to see the odds on who's the favorite to win the championship. Right now, they got the Boston Celtics at plus 350 favorites to win the championship this year. They got all kinds of stuff like that over at BetOnline.net. Head to their website to view their trends and action today. BetOnline, where the game starts. So I want to thank you guys again for making Lockdown Pistons your first listen of every single day. We are free and available on all your podcast platforms. If you haven't already, head to the YouTube channel at Lockdown Pistons, hit that subscribe button, or leave us a 5-star review on whatever podcast platform you are listening to this on. That's another great way to support the podcast. All right, so we got some news with Marvin Bagley, and it's not good news. It's not good news at all. Actually, it's pretty tough news to see. So according to Yahoo Sports, Vincent Goodwill, and this was eventually tweeted out, obviously, by Woj, Shams. It made its way around. But I believe Vincent Goodwill was first at Yahoo Sports. According to the report, Detroit Pistons forward Marvin Bagley III will likely require surgery on two broken fingers on his right hand and will miss 6 to 8 weeks, sources told Yahoo Sports. Bagley sustained the injury in Monday's loss to the Portland Trail Blazers. So, not good. Not good at all. Just last podcast, we had a New Year's resolution episode where I went through and gave every player on the roster my New Year's resolution for them. And my New Year's resolution for Marvin Bagley was to remain healthy for the rest of the year and try to expand your game somewhere. And literally less than an hour or 2 hours later, this happened. First off, I want to say it's incredibly tough for Marvin Bagley. I feel bad for Marvin Bagley, man. You know, however you feel about Marvin Bagley, the player, he's dealt with a lot of injuries so far in his career. And it's tough for a player, any player, to try and make some meaningful improvements, to try to really get better, to really try to find a spot for yourself in the league. You know, all that kind of stuff. It's hard for all that to happen when you're constantly hurt. The man's only played 191 games in his career. He's been in the NBA 5 seasons. He's only played 191 games. He played 62 games his first year, then 13, then 43, then 48. Now this year he's at 25. He's going to miss another 6 to 8 weeks. He might not even – where is he going to be? He's not even gonna, he might not even crack 40 games this year. So the only time he's cracked over 50 games played in a year was his rookie year for Sacramento. So it's been incredibly tough for Marvin Bagley throughout his career to stay healthy, and it's really really hurt his development, in my opinion. So I hope he comes back healthy. I hope he, you know, gets a speedy recovery, recovers completely, and eventually can get back this season and try to, you know, put some good play on tape by the end of this year. I thought he was having a very uneven season. Actually, a few games ago, he had probably his best game of the year. He played really well within that game. But he had been very uneven throughout the year. You saw some games that you know, you were really like, okay, maybe he's getting better in this department. Maybe he's getting better in drop coverage. He's playing really strong. There was a few game stretch there when I thought he looked really strong defensively, to be honest. But that only lasted a few games. He still is a fantastic finisher around the basket. Incredible lob threat, even though we're not getting many lobs to him this year, which is kind of shocking. Without Cade out there, him and Cade seem to have had a really good chemistry. But without Cade, you hadn't seen a lot of lobs at all to him. So either way, though, just wishing Marvin Bagley a speedy recovery. Hopefully he comes back a complete 100%. But now, what do the Pistons do with Marvin Bagley gone? What's the plan here? Well, Nerlens Noel might have to get some minutes. I know Nerlens Noel doesn't want to be here. I know him and the Pistons both agreed that it's better that they find another team to take him on. It's better that he just doesn't play. But it looks like they're in a situation now where Nerlens Noel, I think, is going to have to play some minutes. Maybe not a lot, but he's going to have to play some minutes. And I don't think that should stop the Pistons from moving him on to a better situation. I think that's on Troy Weaver. We've talked about it a lot. Does really well. He does right by his players. And Nerlens Noel and him have, according to reports a few weeks ago, they've agreed that getting him to a different team is best for both parties. So I don't think that they should just like ignore moving him on if something comes along the way still because of this injury. Still do right by Noel. He deserves to be somewhere else. But in the meantime, I think he's going to have to play some minutes. And I think what you're going to see too, I think a lot of this can help. I know that Bagley was basically playing the five a lot of the time. He played some four, but the five a lot of the time. I think when Isaiah Livers comes back, he'll soak up some of the power forward minutes that Bagley was taking. So that should help a little bit. But I also think they're probably, you know, they're going to continue to start, obviously, Duren and Stu. And I think what they're going to do, they'll probably get Stu out early, have Duren play with the undersized forward next to him. Then when Duren comes out the game, they'll bring Stu back in and have Stu play the backup 5 minutes. And then bring Stu out when Duren comes back in and have Duren close the half with an undersized guy next to him. That's what I would do. I'd stagger the lineup a little bit like that. So you don't have to rely on Nerlens Noel to play a lot of minutes. You don't have to ask him to play a lot of minutes. I just stagger those two guys. Again, that's what I would do. But the Pistons, you know, they have had one of the best, if not the best benches in the entire league this year since Marvin Bagley and Alec Burks got healthy. I believe they've been the highest scoring bench since the beginning of December. They've been fantastic. Marvin Bagley's played a big part in that. Alec Burks played a big part in that. I know Kevin Knox played a big part in that. Heck, even Hamidou Diallo's played a big part in that as of late. Sadiq Bey, before he got put back into the starting lineup, he was playing a part in that. But Marvin Bagley had a big part to do with it as well. He was providing a really good punch offensively off the bench for the Pistons. So I'm interested to see, can they keep up this scoring output that they were doing with the bench now that Marvin Bagley is going to be out for at least 2, maybe even 3 months for the Pistons? I'm interested to see that. I think this could be, if you want to find a silver lining, maybe this helps Sadiq a little bit. Because remember, we talked about this on the podcast, like I think a week and a half ago. Sadiq was moved to the bench originally because the bench was struggling and they needed some scoring. But then Alec Burks got back and then Marvin Bagley got back healthy. And those two guys were getting a lot of touches and deservedly so. They were playing really damn well. The bench was playing outstanding. They've been playing outstanding. And it's been a lot to do with Alec Burks and Marvin Bagley. But some of the questions we had asked in the podcast was, okay, but you know, kind of the point of bringing Sadiq off the bench was to get him touches. But now he's coming off the bench not getting touches because these other two guys are playing really well. And you don't want to like take touches away from those guys because how good they're playing, but now how are you going to find touches for Sadiq? How are you going to get Sadiq involved? And now that Marvin Bagley's gone, that should open up a little bit more usage for Sadiq off the bench, at least I assume. So maybe this could help Sadiq a little bit in the meantime. But yeah, man, that's basically all I got on that. Obviously, the main concern is that Marvin Bagley gets back before the end of the year to really put some good play on tape, get back healthy and be able to play some games. But yeah, they're going to miss him off the bench. He provide whether you however you think about Marvin Bagley, his struggles defensively, he was providing a really good scoring punch off the bench for the Pistons. He was capable of going off for 17 points in like 13 minutes. He was one of those guys that could just score in bunches like that, just quick. And they're going to miss that. So it's going to be interesting to see how they fill that. How do you guys think they'll find a way to fill it? Are they going to stagger? Are they going to play near the well? Let me know in the comment section down below or over on Twitter at Kuka Hill. When we come back, I saved this for the last segment because it's just such a sad topic to talk about. We'll talk a little bit about the Portland Trailblazers game, not New Orleans Pelicans. The Trailblazers game the Pistons just had. We'll talk about that when we come back, man. But first, you guys got to hear from some of our lovely sponsors. So I want to thank you guys again for making Lockdown Pistons your first listen of every single day. We are free and available on all your podcast platforms. If you haven't already, head to the YouTube channel at Lockdown Pistons, hit that subscribe button, or leave us a 5-star review on whatever podcast platform you are listening to this on. That's another great way to support the podcast. All right, so I didn't really want to... I told you guys in the last episode that we would talk about this game because I recorded the New Year's Resolution episode before the game because of how late it was going to be. I told you guys the next episode we would talk about the game after I watch it. And sadly, I watched it. I have to watch it. I get paid to. I cover the team. I have to watch it. I don't get a choice here. You guys get a choice. And I saw a lot of you guys took the choice of not watching it after like the first half. Good on you. Because the Pistons ended up losing this game. 135-106. I'll say it again. 135-106. The Trailblazers' biggest lead was at 34 points at one point. The Pistons, again, allow over 130 points to an opponent. I don't care what the... I know the Pistons are like a few decimal points ahead of the San Antonio Spurs for the worst defense in the league. I don't care, though. The Pistons have the worst defense in the league by far. Some of the stuff that you see in a Pistons game, it's laughable. It's laughable how bad the defense is. It's truly insane. And I don't want to spend too much on the defense because there's some stuff offensively that I really want to hit on. But Jeremy Grant played his game against the Pistons for the first time. In 27 minutes, everybody, with Bojan Bogdanović and Sadiq Bey matched up with him most of the time. And as soon as we saw that, we should have known what was going to happen. We should have known. We saw what happened with Zach LaVine. Zach LaVine looked like he was playing a game of horse when they started those two guys against the Bulls. So Jeremy Grant playing against his old team in a career season he's having, when he's shooting over 40% from deep, playing outstanding off of Dame, off of Simons, off of Nurkic. It was expected. But in 27 minutes, he scored 36 points. He didn't have a singular assist, and I don't blame him. He was in pure bucket mode. He looked at this team. This is the team that traded me, and you're going to match me up. You're going to put Bojan Bogdanović on me. You're going to put Sadiq Bey on me. He didn't look to pass that one time, and I don't blame him. He shot 12 of 17 from the floor, 70% to 36 points. He shot 70% on his way to 36 points. 70% from the field, 62% from deep, 5 of 8, and got to the free throw line 9 times. Jeremy Grant obliterated the Detroit Pistons. Now, look, I know a lot of people are going to be like, oh, they shouldn't have traded Jeremy. This shows that we made a bad decision getting Jeremy, trading Jeremy. No, I don't. That's not what it shows. The Pistons got Jalen Duren by trading Jeremy Grant. They kept the future flexible by trading Jeremy Grant, by not giving him the extension. It's going to hurt in the meantime. This is why I told you guys before the year the team was going to take a step backwards, because Jeremy was objectively the team's best player last year. So you get rid of him, the team's going to get worse. You just lost your best player. That's what I was telling you guys before the year. A lot of people told me I was crazy for thinking they wouldn't get better. Hey, it is what it is. But that, you shouldn't regret the trade. It got you Jalen Duren. And it's growing. It kept cap space open for this offseason that's coming up to really build how you want around Cade Cunningham and whoever else stays. And moving forward, you have so much flexibility with Jalen Duren now, who I think might be the second most important prospect on this team now. So, no, I don't regret the trade, but I'm getting off the rails now. The point is, the defense is so bad that Jeremy Grant didn't even look to pass because he was just getting easy shot after easy shot after easy shot. Anthony Simons, too, 30 points on 11 of 18 shooting. Dame had a quiet night, which was 19 and 10 It was obliteration by the hands of the Trailblazers. But move past the defense for a second. I'm going to tell you guys this right now. Because I'm an associate, I work under the Locked On Network. I can't say what I really want to say. And because I have to be professional, I'm a professional in this. And, you know, I'm sure some players, I've been told some players see some of my stuff. And I know for a fact some people within the Pistons see some of my stuff. So because of all of that, I'm going to say this the most kind way I can possibly say. That was the most pathetic performance I've ever watched last night or two nights ago by the time you guys listen to this. And they've had some bad performances. But this was horrific. This tops it. And I feel like I've said they've topped it like four times in the past month. They had 21 turnovers in this game. Now look, there's a few turnovers I want to point out. Now remember what we talked about in the first segment with them not ever wanting to pass to each other. And the reason why they have so many turnovers is either one, they're careless with the ball. They're constantly trying to score for themselves and get themselves in bad position. But three, I feel like the majority of the time their turnovers come from, they look to score first. And then when that gets walled off, instead of finding the open man before you were looking to score, when you're driving to the paint and looking for to just make the right basketball play, they look to score first. And then when that gets closed off, now they look to pass. And by then it's not open anymore. Now you turn the ball over. There were multiple turnovers that I really just want to point out real quick. There was a stint in the third quarter where Jaden Ivey, I believe, had three back-to-back-to-back turnovers. And each one of them got worse. Like each one of them were just worse and worse turnovers. Then, in the fourth quarter, the Detroit Pistons, I wouldn't advise Stevie Wonder to watch these plays. But there was a stretch. Now, look, the game was out of pocket. The game was over. But still, the fact that you were getting this kind of, I don't care if the game's a blowout. You can't put that kind of play on tape. The Pistons had a good, like, 2 minute straight of offense where they turned the ball over immediately in the first 5 seconds of their shot clock at the top of the key. Over and over and over. And the Trailblazers, I believe, had five straight dunks because of this. It was putrid. I couldn't believe what I was watching. That's not acceptable. You can't have that happen. Whether it's a blowout, whether you're blowing out the team or getting blown out, whoever you have on the floor, the carelessness in which they turn the ball over, the way they just hold onto the ball and don't look for anybody, the way they don't play for each other, the way they just so careless and wild with the ball, it's getting embarrassing at this point. It's getting embarrassing, and this Trailblazers game was at the peak, was just peak of it, just utterly embarrassing. It was bad. It was really bad, y'all. And hopefully eventually gets better. But I don't know, guys. I'm starting to think that this is just what they're going to be this year. It'll get better moving forward. But I think that's just what it's going to be this year. That's just what it's going to be. And to wrap up the podcast, I'm going to tell you guys how it went. I got the play-by-play looked up right here in front of me. 3:32, Diallo, out-of-bounds turnover. 3:26, Noel, lost ball turnover. 2:28, Ivy, bad pass turnover. 2:12, Diallo, bad pass turnover. Like, it was, what was that? That's five turnovers in a matter of a minute and 30 seconds? Like, it's... And then just before then, 2 minutes before then, they had back-to-back turnovers. A Magruder turnover turned into a Lillard layup. Then a Sadiq turnover right after that one that turned into a clear pass foul for Anthony Simons. It was all kinds of bad, man. It was that game right there was putrid. And I don't advise anybody to go watch that game. And if the Pistons continue to put this kind of product on the floor, they're not going to have many fans still watching by the time February comes around. And that's just the brutal honesty about it. And I don't blame fans who are already checked out. There's a difference between losing and losing like this. And losing like this is how you lose people and how you lose belief in your team. They need to do something. This is unacceptable. But that's all I've got for you guys today, man. Appreciate you guys making Lockdown Pistons your first listen of every single day. For those of you guys who have stayed tuned to this far, I have an announcement for you guys. Over the past year, we had a 36% increase in viewership on the podcast compared to 2021. We're growing this podcast. I thank all of you guys who tune in every single day and have helped me and supported me on this route to, you know, growing this podcast and my goal of trying to make this the biggest podcast at the Locked On Network. We were one of the 10 of 11 shows to hit a benchmark of viewership over the past year or so. I plan on getting, after this year, I want to get up into the top five. We want to get up there, man. I appreciate all of you guys over the past year, the support you guys have shown me. Really, really appreciate you guys. So I just want to let you guys know that. That's all of you guys. That's your guys' work. That's you guys supporting me. That you guys deserve to hear that. Yeah, man, I appreciate you guys. But until the next podcast, man, I'll see you guys later. Subscribe to the YouTube channel. 5-star review on whatever podcast platform you're listening to this on. Until next time, stay safe. Go Pistons. And peace out, everybody.